Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. Everybody. It's so wonderful to be in God's house this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Have to be looking at that clock. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And in my heart for us. Everybody say us. It's not always this away. You know, there's three more pointing back. Amen. So we've got to understand that today. Praise the Lord. Proverbs, the 12th chapter, and the 27th verse. It says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." It's a rather odd scripture, isn't it? You can be seated. I want to read that again. "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Now, nobody in his church likes to hunt. That's not true, is it? We're going to talk about hunting and fishing this morning. I'm really preaching from this subject, mending your nets. Mending your nets. In hunting, there are different motives in hunting. There are those that hunt because they just want to kill something. And they just want to kill an animal. Others are just, they're looking for horns. The bigger, the better. I happen to be one of those that likes to, not just the horns, but I'm in the market for a 30-inch plus buck. Amen. Whether I find it or not, don't know. And then there's those that when they hunt, they just want to bring home the choice cuts, the backstrap and the hams. There's a couple of reasons for that. That is the choicest cuts of meat on a deer or hog, for that matter, elk, moose, whatever. The back strap is the very best. It's that part of meat that just runs right down the on either side of the backbone, and it just comes off in one long strip, and it is the very best there is. And so, particularly if you're in the back country, people consider it's fun. The funnest part is the hunting. Finding. But the work starts when the animal is down. And the further you are away from the road, the harder the job. For that reason, the Department of Fish and Game has made a law. You may not be aware of it, but it's called wanton waste. And if you go out and you kill an animal and you just take the head and the horns, or you just take the back straps or the hams, and that's all you bring home, the Department of Fish and Game has a way. You have, at least in California, you have to go and have that tag validated. You have to take it to the Department of Fish and Game, or you take it to the fire or the police station, and they validate your tag. And so did you. And then in here in New Mexico, you have to send in a report. Did you, when you get a tag, you send a report back. Did you kill any animals? How many points did it have on the right side? How many points on the left side? And where did you kill it at? You say, what do they care? Well, I'll tell you why they care. There's people whose job it is to go check those sites. And if they find a carcass there with just the head missing and the rest of the meat laying there, they're going to be looking for somebody, because that animal was wantonly wasted. And so, isn't it strange that Solomon talked about that? Now, if you're way back in the back country and you knock down a big elk, the job has just begun, because you got to pack that turkey out of there. And just the horns and the heads, they might weigh 75, 80, 100 pounds. I know Brother Fisher got me on a bear in California. I have it in my garage, full body mount. Just the head and the hide weighed 100 pounds. The rest of it was 500 pounds. And so the temptation would be, if you were in backcountry, just to take the trophy home and not so much of the meat. And that would be a wanton waste of an animal. And by the way, the Bible teaches us to respect animals. It doesn't say we can't kill them. It just says that you've got to respect them and take care of them and preserve them. And so the law of wanton waste can prosecute you if you do not take home the meat that you dare. So Solomon said, it's the slothful man that roasteth not, that he took in hunting. Mark the 16th chapter. We're talking today on this subject, not the 16th chapter, the first chapter. Mark the first chapter, and the 19th verse is a unique statement. It says, and when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. In Luke the 5th chapter, and the 2nd verse is a collateral reading to this. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels. That is, they cover similar events. They tell of the same happening. Sometimes there's a little different aspect of it mentioned than in the other reference. But when Jesus goes by James and John, the sons of Zebedee, he finds them in their boat, and they are mending their nets. In Luke, the 5th chapter, 1 and 2 says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. Now, I don't know much about net fishing. I'm more of an angler. I know Brother Michael Madrid is an angler. And there's other people in here that like to fish. That's where you catch them one at a time. Or if you're in the ocean, you use a multiple hook deal. It's called a ganyon if you're bottom fishing. I don't like to bottom fish, but you can catch a bunch of fish in one time. If you got a, in California, when you ocean fish, what they call deep sea fishing, you got maybe have a 5-pound weight, and you're fishing 400 foot down. I'm going to tell you, it ain't fun. You can bring home a lot of fish, but I'm going to tell you, if you drop a 5-pound weight with an 80-pound test linen line, you drop it down 400 feet, 5 pounds is nothing. But you think, you just reel that turkey up a couple of times, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to come with no fish on it. You're going to be tired. When you come home, you're going to be tired. But if it's got, I've reeled them up that have had 6 hooks and had 6 fish. I'm telling you, I go home with a crick in my neck. I've learned to lay it on the rail and not hold it, lay it on the rail, just crank it up that way. But, you know, to 2 wines to get 3 feet, 400 feet, how many wines is that? And so I'm more of an angler and used to catch them one at a time, two at a time, whatever. But a net fisherman, we read in the Bible where when Jesus met the disciples after the resurrection, they were in their boat and they reeled, they brought in the net. There was 153 fish in that net. And they forsook the net and followed Jesus. But the point I'm saying is when you're a net fisherman, you cannot afford to have holes in your net. Now, the net may be a grid, maybe inch and a half slots in it so the water can flow through it. But if you got a hole in your net, you know what that means? It's a lot of work to put that net out. It's a lot of work to tend that net. And then it's a lot of work. In Bible days, they didn't have a winch to draw it in. They had a winch, this winch. And to work that hard to put the net out, they had to row to get out there or sail to get out there. They had to hope that they were locating the fish. They didn't have a fish finder, the technology that we have today. It was more happenstance. And to go to all of that work and start to pull in that net, and you can feel the fish in it when you're pulling it in. But if there's a hole in the bottom of it and you get it close to the boat and you see the fish swimming away, all of that work is wasted. All of that work is, the energy is just wasted. And so I'm talking today about, so Jesus met the disciples. He called them to be apostles. In one place he said, from here on, you're going to catch men. I will make you to be fishers of men. Let's not have any doubt about it today. We are to be fishers of men. We are in the people business. Hallelujah. The church is in the people business. Would you just look at one another and say, I'm in the people business. Come on. I'm in the people business. Did you know the Lord wants His house to be full? You know, it's just as easy to preach to 1,000. In fact, it's easier to preach to 1,000 than it is to 2. It's not the recognition that we're looking for. It is just easier. I'm telling you what, if you're preaching, revival and there's two people in the, and there's two people in the congregation and one of them's got the Holy Ghost and one of them doesn't, and you're preaching, you got to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven, or you're going to go to hell without it. It's pretty obvious who you're preaching to. You know, I had a man tell me one time in a small home missionary church, I was preaching on baptism in Jesus' name. Just a few people. It was a small church. And this guy came up to me and he said, when are you going to preach on something besides baptism in Jesus' name? And so, just being kind man I am, I said, whenever you get baptized in Jesus' name. He was the only one there that hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name. My job's to get him right. Amen. And so it's easier to preach to a larger group of people than a smaller group of people. And so we're in the people business. And Jesus said, ye shall be fishers of men. Now, I've been here this coming June. It'll be 2 years. It doesn't seem like that long. The time has gone by so fast. And I certainly appreciate the things that God is doing. We are experiencing quite a number of folks receiving the Holy Ghost. It's a regular occurrence. And I'm ecstatically happy about that. Hallelujah. Amen. I've noticed that when someone that needs the Lord, they begin to pray in this congregation, I notice there is a wonderful thing that occurs. There is a swarming effect. Someone lifts up their hands and begins to pray and seek God. It won't be just a short time till there'll be people just gathered right around. Man, I admire that. Hallelujah. I pastored for a while. I had to almost sometimes go get people by the hand and say, come on, there's a sinner down here, daughter, needs God. Won't you help me out? Hallelujah. And thank God there were people got in the flow of things. And that is a tremendous asset today, that there are those, many in this congregation, that care enough. Somebody just gives a little twitch that they might be seeking after God. And there's people there to help them. They just might be down there. They might even be yawning to start with. But the people of this church don't. You know that for a fact. You've seen people at the altar, and the saints of God are more excited about seeking God than they are initially. But there's an anointing that comes, a passion that comes, that says this is a soul whom Jesus died for, and they've got to know Jesus, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to pray until the power of God falls on them. And then we all rejoice and shout, and we all stand around the baptistry. I can't get close enough. By the time I get there, everybody's there and I can't even see. So I can see better back there in some place. But I'm saying, it speaks to the passion in our hearts. If I could do just one thing in the kingdom of God, the most exciting thing, well, there's two things. And that is seeing somebody get the Holy Ghost, being right there. And see that look of joy. And you can tell when the Holy Ghost comes on people. In the congregation while preaching, it is exciting to see conviction just fall. Amen. But the one thing that I like to do, if I could just stand in the baptistry, say, upon the confession of your faith and the burdens to the Word of God, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And lay hands on them and God fill them with the Holy Ghost. That, I'd rather do that than hunt and fish and play golf or anything else. I'd rather do that than eat. Boy, talking about meat to eat that you don't know of. I'm going to tell you, there's something about it. When you know, when you put that person down in that, in the name of Jesus Christ, there's a miracle taking place. The God of glory is blotting out their sins. Hallelujah. He has forgiven them of all their trespasses. They're coming out of there a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like that. I'm thinking about a lady we baptized in Ventura. I preached and preached and preached and tried to reach this lady. It didn't seem like anything was affecting her. She'd been a Catholic, and she was just sitting back there all stoically. And I went back to her one morning, and I called her by name, and I said, "Don't you think it's about time you got baptized in Jesus' name?" She had never been to the altar. I had seen the hand of God bring conviction upon her. And that Sunday morning, I said to her, "Don't you think it's about time you got baptized in Jesus' name?" And she said, "This Sunday night." Now, I don't usually just baptize people that hadn't been seeking God, but I felt something in my heart. And so we came, we put her in the baptistry. Bear in mind, she had never been to the altar. She had never openly prayed. And I was a little twitchy about that, but when I put that woman down in the name of Jesus, I had her down like this. A geyser came up. Water shot up about that high. When I got her out of the water, she was speaking in other tongues as a spirit gives it utterance. I'm telling you, while she was under the water, she got the Holy Ghost and she was poof. I mean, I like that. I like that. And so we're experiencing quite a few people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is wonderful. I want to brag on the way people swarm around people. I've mentioned that when they receive, they're down praying. Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother Boss's teaching home Bible study, the new converts class. And Brother Stewart is teaching discipleship class. And Brother Dominic, I can't say his last name, doing a tremendous effort there. But we got a hole in our net. I'm not saying that judgmentally or condemningly. It's just seeing a need. And so I don't know everybody's name here. I tried to learn their names, and that's what I'm working on. I've always had trouble with that. But when I look around the congregation, I look for people. And I've seen people that we've been praying through. You've been praying through. We've been praying through. I look for them in services, and many of them are not here. They prayed through. They got a tremendous experience. We shouted and rejoiced. We had a great time rejoicing with them when they were baptized in Jesus' name. And we shouted. We're supposed to. That's the joy of the Lord. But sometimes I look around and I look for them and I don't see them here. And that tells me something. Now, I know not everybody that prays through is going to stay. I can prove it biblically. Just read the parable of the sower. Jesus talked about fishing with the net. He said, you draw the net in, you bring it to shore, you put the good fish in the vessels and the bad fish. Oh, wait, no, we're not throwing anybody away here. There's just a natural deal. Some people just don't tend to, whatever, don't want to go into that. But I do want this. We can change that. It's not how many you catch, it's how many you keep. That's where revival is. You understand what I mean? It is a joy to pray them through. And I want to brag on you. You folks excel in it. I watch Brother Stewart. Come here, my brother. I love you. Come here. This man right here is gifted in praying people through to the Holy Ghost. I admire that about you, brother. I wish I had the ability that you have. There must be faith that operates there. I love you. There's others here that I've watched you work with people. And I've seen you pray them through. And I've seen faith operation. Amen? Amen. There's others. I just want Brother Stewart's close by. But I want to tell you, there's ladies in here that are gifted in praying people through to the Holy Ghost. Everybody should be skilled in that area. Hallelujah. But there are those that just seem to have a double dose of it. They know how to do that. And I want to tell you, it's work praying for people. Just get in that altar and start praying. It's hard. It's more work than preaching. It'll wear you down. There used to be people that just, you know, they just wore out the saints. They prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for the Holy Ghost. Well, thank God, that's not the will of God. But there is that anointing that comes. But I'm going to tell you today, we've got to learn, start sewing up that hole in our net so that we don't lose people. That the goal is to assimilate everybody that prays through to the Holy Ghost. Everyone that gets baptized in Jesus' name. Our goal is to not just rejoice because they got it, but begin to assimilate them into the body, to rope them in, to tie them in. Now, I'm not talking about forcing people. I'm just talking about working with them, loving them, nurturing them, fellowshipping with them, associating with them. If they're not here, call them. Say, hey, I've missed you. You say, oh no, that's all the pastor's and the preacher's job. Let's look at the Bible today. So we have a hole in our net. We need. You say, Brother Otto, are you sure? I am absolutely, totally sure. There's not a doubt in my mind of that. You say, well, are you getting on to us? No, I'm encouraging us today. It takes a lot to get somebody to the house of God. We're blessed here that people just seem to come. I'm amazed by that. I come from California, man. There's folks out there. I'm not talking about the San Joaquin Valley. I'm talking on the coast. To get them there, you got to work. Amen. And we're just blessed with people that just come. Hallelujah. What a privilege we enjoy here. Now look with me, if you would, here today. We're talking about hole in the net. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, says this in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. That's just a lead-in. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, I want you to look at the 16th verse. The head is Christ, from whom the whole body. The whole body. That means everybody. Now those, you say, what's the whole body? Those that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost are part of the body of Christ. That's how you get into the body of Christ. You've got to be born into it. Amen. Amen. And so he said, from whom the whole body, notice this, fitly joined together. And then it uses another word, compacted. You want to know what the church should be? We should be a tight group. Now, I know sinners, they talk about, and they'll say, me and George, we're tight. Right? Do they talk like that out here? California, they do. Tight. That means we are close friends. We're buds. We're bros. Did you know the church, the congregation, is supposed to be tight? Now, on the other side, now, there's got people that are tight with each other. You try to get in their group. It is tough. Not supposed to be that way in the church. This is supposed to be the friendliest, most welcome, receiving, open people that we can receive with open arms. We'll say, you're my brother, man. You got baptized in Jesus' name. We're bros. Hey, let's get some more. Hallelujah. And so notice what Paul is saying to the church. He talked about the fourfold ministry. But now in verse number 16, he says, the body. That's what the church is. We are the body of Christ. All right. He said, the church should be fitly joined together and compacted. If you know when they make a freeway or they're going to make a build a house, the one thing they want to know is their compaction. Is that packed down there? It's solid. And so God wants us fitly joined together and compacted. We are pressed together. What? The love of Christ constraineth us. There's something holding us together. The glue is the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And now let's move along. Time's going to get away. Notice he says here, that which, you got your Bible open? After it says, fitly joined together and compacted. Listen to this. What keeps us tight? By that which every joint supplies. Now, it's not talking about a weed joint. It's talking about... You know one of the things you worry about when you get older? Your joints don't want to work. But Paul is talking about the church. He says, every joint supplieth. According, listen to this, look at the words, according to the effectual. The word effectual comes from the root word effective. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hand? Come on, just raise your hand. Just do what I ask you. It said, I'm a part. I'm a part. Sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not important because I don't sing in the praise team. I'm not important because I don't play the drums. I'm not important because I don't play the piano. Or I'm not important because I don't do this or that or the other. I'm going to tell you, every part is important. And notice he said, according to the effectual. That means the effective working of every part. Hallelujah. What happens when it works like that? It maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'm telling you, I'm excited about everybody that prays through. I'm excited about everybody that walks through the door of that church. I'm excited about everybody that gets baptized in Jesus' name. I'm excited by everybody that brings somebody to the house of God. I'm excited for those that witness to their neighbors and their friends. Hallelujah. I'm glad that's what's going on. But I don't want them to slip out the side door. I want them to be there next Sunday. I want them to be there next Wednesday. I want them to be there at home Bible study. I want them to be at New Disciples class. I want them to be there at Bible studies going on. You know why? Because we're in the discipling business. Our job is, yes, to get them here, pray them through, baptize them in Jesus' name. But the
biggest job is done by the membership of the church. It is not just the preacher. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's everybody's job. Hallelujah. We want to sow that net. We want to reach out there and close that hole. It ought to be the most difficult thing in the world to get out of this church. It ought to be hard to not be a part of this church. I mean, they'd have to work at it. Now, I've had a few people avoid me in life. There's a man just prayed through in Ventura, California, just recently. I worked on that man for 3 years. I had to drive 20 miles up in the mountains on a skinny old Highway 33 crooked road to get there. I'm telling you, I went up there. I loved that man. He was a backslider. He started off as a preacher in the Church of God. When my neighboring pastor got him baptized in Jesus' name, something happened and he dropped out of church. He was a preacher. And he visited our church. And I said, oh, God. And I went after that man. And he said, man, preacher, you don't give up, do you? I said, I'm after you, man. Oh, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You need to pray through. You have walked off from God. I love you. I want you in this church. And he kept telling me, he said, preacher, you don't give up. I said, I don't have very many skills, but one of them is tenacity. And when I get my mind on something, it's stuck. I talked to the pastor that took the church that I turned it over to. He said, Brother Allred, old Mike prayed through Sunday. Tears began to go down. It's got to be hard to get away from the kingdom of God. It shouldn't be easy. We got to make it. We got to do it. And so today, I want you to get out your needle. And I want you to say, God, I want to be a part of the team that sews up the hole in the net. I rejoice when they pray through. I rejoice when they're baptized in Jesus' name. But I'm going to rejoice when I see them there, service after service. I see their life transform. I see the changes in their life. I see them, I hear them talking different. I see them dressing different. I see them acting different because you've transformed their life. Oh, today that is everybody's business. Would you say the effectual working of every part? Hallelujah. In Mark, the 14th chapter, there's an incident about a woman. In Mark 14, it talks about Jesus at the Pharisee's house. And while he was eating there, it said there came in a woman that had an alabaster box full of ointment, most precious. And when Jesus was sitting there eating, it says that she broke the alabaster box and began to anoint the Lord with it. And somebody said, what a waste. That woman could have sold that and made a bunch of money on it. And Jesus said this to her, to them. He said, this woman, listen to me, this woman hath done what she could. Don't sit on the pew and say, because I can't lead singing, because I don't make announcements, because I don't sing special songs, because I don't play an instrument, because I'm not an usher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I can't do anything. I want to tell you, God, if the whole body was an eye, where would we be? If the whole body was a hand or an ear, were we all members in particular in this body, and we've got to do what we can. How many's willing to do what you can? Come on. That takes some effort. It's more than sitting on a pew. It's more than shouting and running. Keep doing that. But say, that's for your benefit. That edifies you. That helps you. But thank God, I'm going to do what I can through the effectual working of every part. I'm going to edify the body and it's going to increase. Have you ever thought my God, have you ever thought what an awesome thing it is? How much it takes for somebody to walk into a building and not know hardly anybody there. I didn't realize that. I mean, I was in church all my life. Come to church anyway. Wasn't in it anyway. Well, I was an evangelist. I asked the pastor, would you let me skip service this morning? He said, what for? I said, I want to go to the first church, da-da-da-da-da. Don't ask your pastor that. He'll tell you no. He said, okay. I'm telling you, I walked into that congregation. I didn't know nobody there. And it was the most intimidating thing I've ever experienced. I wasn't among friends. I didn't know anybody. I felt like a fish out of water. Every visitor that walks to that door, it takes nerve. It takes something, a hunger to get them there. And when we, and I'm going to tell you how we can't afford to keep pulling in the net and the fish going out the other end. We don't have time for that. We got to fix it. Let me move along. And so this woman did what she could. Can you say amen? And Jesus was so impressed. He said, listen to this, wherever the gospel is preached, we should mention what this woman did as a memorial to her. What did she do? Did she preach a revival? Did she teach a home Bible study? No. Did she teach a Sunday school class? No. Did she sing in the choir? No. She just did what she could. Hallelujah. Let's move along. In Acts, the 9th chapter, there is an account of a woman. I want to read this. Hallelujah. And then I've got to move on out of here. Praise God. Acts, the 9th chapter. Starting at verse number 36, it says, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple, not a preacher, not a pastor, a disciple, a follower, a person of the congregation. Hello? And notice, named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Listen now. She was just a parishioner. She just comes to church. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She dies. They call for Peter. Verse number 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. Listen to this. And showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. She was full of good deeds and alms deeds. She was helping to disciple. There was a bunch of widows there. How did they get there? Because the effectual working of every part, Dorcas was doing what she could. She knew how to sew. She may not have known how to teach a home Bible study, but she knew how to sew. And so what did she say? I'm a member of this body. I'm responsible for what's going on here. I want to help people, so I'm going to sew. She was a so-and-so, you know, a so-and-so. She just knew how to sew. That was her talent. And she began to do that. And what was she doing? She was reaching people. When a new one came to the congregation, she said, you know what? They need a coat. So she made them a coat. They need a hat. They need a sweater. They need a dress. And what was she doing? She was compacting them. She was bringing them in and keeping them there. Amen. Let's move on a little further. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, there's the last chapter of the book there, but 1 Corinthians 16, I want you to notice what it says in verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know those, the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits in Achaia, first converts. And listen to this. And they have addicted themselves to the ministry of saints. Now we testify about I was an addict. Well, I can't say that. But it's a wonderful testimony. This one says I was an addict. This one says I was an alcoholic.
Wonderful. But these were the right kind of addicts. They got hooked. They couldn't get away from it. They didn't want to get away from it. They addicted themselves to the ministry of saints. We need some addicts today. Hallelujah. We need somebody that'll be willing. Say, I'm going to addict myself when that new one prays through to the Holy Ghost and they get baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to go up to them and say, my name is Larry Allred. I'm a member of this church. I'm so glad you got here. I'm glad God filled you with the Holy Ghost. I'm shouting you got baptized in Jesus. What's your address? Where do you live? What is your last name? My phone number is 805-558-0638. Do you mind if I contact you tomorrow? What's your phone number? And if you come back to church next service and they're not there, guess what's going to happen the next evening? Ring, ring. Hey, this is Larry Allred. We met you last night. I sure missed you in church. You know what? You and your wife, if they're married or if they're single, whatever the condition is, would you come over to my house tomorrow night? My wife makes the best tacos. Or whatever, you know. And what are you doing? You're sewing up the hole in the net. Initially, he said, well, man, I can't miss church after that wonderful dinner. And, you know, nobody's ever called me before and seen how I'm doing. Are you with me? So they addicted themselves. Now, let's look at, I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture today. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. I want you to notice this, verse number 9 and 10. It says this. Well, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That means passionate, godly love. Not sensual love, agape love. Charity. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You know, it is the nature of new converts to mess up. The old behavior, they're going to make mistakes. And they're going to feel so bad, they're afraid to come back to church. He said here, but above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. It didn't say condone it. It didn't say overlook it. It didn't even say judge it. I'm telling you, the love of Christ, that person, they say, man, those people love me so much. And you get them to the house of God. And maybe they have messed up. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is going to reach out. The Word of God is going to reach out. And they're going to pray through. And charity will have covered a multitude of sins. How is it going to be done? Notice the next verse. Here it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. I know there's some ladies in this church that can cook. There are some men that can cook. Don't ask me to cook. I don't even want to know how. And you wouldn't eat it if I fixed it. I can bake a cake, but the stove does the baking. Anyway. You understand? Use hospitality. That is the gift of making people at ease and comfortable. If you want them to be comfortable in God's house, make them comfortable in your house. You may not be able to teach a home Bible study. It may scare the bejeebers out of you. You may feel real inadequate about it. But I tell you what, everybody likes to eat. Everybody likes to sit down to a table among friends and fill up their plate. And I'm telling you, we can use hospitality. When you see somebody new around here, let's not be afraid to give them our name and our address and their name and their address and say, would you be my guest? It'll blow your mind what happens. It'll blow your mind. Good cooks, find out what they like to do. Maybe they're a fisherman. Maybe they like to shop. Well, go shopping. But tie them in. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. this place will be full quicker and stay full quicker. And we are looking out for another building, and we can fill that one up too if we'll just say, God, I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to be like that guy that hunts and doesn't even bring it home. I don't want to be a criminal. I want to be an edifier, a builder upper in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm just telling you, I felt the Lord speak that to me, particularly about hospitality. There's some people in church that need to learn how to cook. They're going to get married someday. That poor old bugger ain't going to have nothing to eat sandwiches every day. He's going to get tired of sandwiches. He can make his own sandwich. Or cereal or soup. You know, everybody can open a can of soup. So it's, I got to quit. I'm done. Listen, folks. The Bible talks about the older women. Now, there's no women elders in the church, as far as all elders are men in the kingdom of God. Write that down. And all angels are men too, but not all men are angels. But nevertheless, it says the older women are to teach the younger women how to be keepers at home. You know, that's cooking and cleaning and washing. Da 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 da. Amen. Why? We want a lot of good hostess in the kingdom of God. We want them to come. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I didn't mean to go off on that direction. Let's stand. I'm done. I write it down. I got done in time. The woman with the alabaster box. Let's don't focus on what we can't do, or we don't know how to do, or we don't have the skills to do. Let's pray right now and say, God, from today on, I'm going to do what I can. Those new people that come into the kingdom of God, I'm going to get their name. I'm going to get their address. I'm going to get their phone number. I'm going to make them my friend. I'm going to invite them to sit beside me in church. I'm going to pray with them, worship with them, cry with them, and I'm going to be with them. And as these other people teach Bible studies and preach and sing, I'm going to be effectively doing what I can. And we all can. Let's pray right now. Jesus, we are members in particular in your body. You have redeemed us. Lord, we want to sew up the hole in the net. We want to make it difficult for people to not be in the house of God. We want them to feel at home. I want to make them at home. I want to use charity and hospitality to reach out to hurting people, to be their friend, to nurture them. Come on, let's worship the Lord.